So I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to speak again. And I want to acknowledge all the speakers, all the writers who wrote such beautiful things about your mom. And I think one of the things we all have to remember about Hesped is that we have to take a lesson from someone's life and we have to walk away with that to affect our own. When Hashem judges us in Shamayim each year, He judges us based on the fruits of our actions. What are the fruits of our actions? That's when someone taught you something, you did that something, you changed your life. Everything that goes from then is a fruit of that action. Your mother did such wonderful things. We heard such beautiful things. But now I want to speak a little differently. And although I'm speaking to everybody here, I'm speaking primarily to the children and the grandchildren. Great-grandchildren too. A shiva for a grandparent is something we always remember. The cousins come together for a week, and they remember their grandparents. Cousins that don't spend so much time together suddenly spend a lot of time together in the same house. And I would like all of you to walk away with something which I hope you'll never forget. And I hope you'll pass it on to your own children and your own grandchildren. I was discussing with Chantel yesterday the Perashah. You know, now we're alone. We have to discuss the Perashah. So we read yesterday in the Perashah where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to the person we mentioned already, the architect, the master craftsman, the foreman of the Mishkan, and who's it going to be? And the Pasuk tells us in last week's Perashah, and it echoes it in this week's Perashah, Re'eh, see, karati b'shem Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur lemate Yehuda. I'm calling upon, by name, Betzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda, and I'm going to fill with him Ruach Elokim, a spirit of God, Bechokhma Bnura Bedat Bechol Melacha. And the same pasuk almost is in this week's parasha coming, except in this Moshe is telling the people, Hashem picked this person by name. The rabbis ask a question: why, when it comes to Betzalel, do we have his father, his grandfather, and his tribe? This is very unusual. They also ask another question. We say that Hashem endowed him with the Ruach of Elohim. But in Hebrew, if I'm going to say that he endowed him with the Ruach Elohim, I'm going to say Beruach Elohim. Just like we say, Bechokhma, right? He gives him each of these things, but where's the Bet? Why is it only Ruach? Why no Bet? Why Ruach? In both places, we only have Ruach. I'm going to suggest a few answers. Each has its own lesson as it relates to all of us here. Why the family history? Why the tribe? I want to tell you something. To know where you're going in life, it's crucial to know one thing. Where did I come from? Where did I come from? Without that piece of information, I have no idea where I'm going. Who am I coming from? Now, I can obviously speak, I could speak for hours about the history of the Bibi family. And I'm zoche to be my father's son, and my father was the family historian to a certain aspect. And it's interesting that when my cousin Elizabeth Jamal, when she was still in elementary school, she needed to write a report on the Bibi family history. My father sat down and wrote 30 or 40 pages in longhand of the family history. And that family history eventually became a book. And this book, the first half of this book, is that family history. So if you want to know where you come from, you need to read this book. Because you need to know where you come from. You need to know who you came from. You need to know what they did and what they sacrificed to bring you here. But let me start with something else. I started working for AJ Jamal when I was 14 years old. I worked in the electronics store. Everyone tells me they worked for somebody, right? I worked for AJ in the electronics store. And AJ from day one said, you go sell. What am I doing? I didn't know anything. And I'm always going to tell you that I'm deeply indebted to AJ. When I learned and my rabbi sent me to take the Rabbanut test, I said, me, a rabbi? It's impossible to be a rabbi. I grew up in Studio 54 in Zenon, people. That's not a rabbi. And when my rabbi passed away, Rabbi Lankery sat me down and he said something to me. He said, Hashem gave you a gift. He gave you a gift to be able to speak. If after 120 years you show up in heaven, Hashem's going to say, what did you do with my gift? You were a salesman, you made money. If you didn't use the gift I gave you, L'shem Shamayim, Rabbi Lankery said, the hole in Gehinam for you is so deep. Well, he scared you. Scared me. But who taught me? AJ. AJ taught me how to communicate with people. AJ taught me how to speak, and I'm forever indebted. So that was a superpower that I had to learn to use, L'shem Shamayim. Each of us has a superpower. Each of us has something that we're very good at. How are we going to take that thing that I'm very good at and use it, L'shem Shamayim? Because after 120, you're going to get up to Shamayim and Hashem's going to say, I gave you a gift. I gave you a superpower. What did you do with it? What did we do with it? In the store, there was an older man. And he would give me, he would share his wisdoms, an older Syrian man. And he said when he was a kid, he worked in Myrtle Beach. And in Myrtle Beach, one day, and I heard this story from a few people. Someone came in and asked for a towel. So he went and he pulled the towel. He brought it to the front. He rang up the register. And the guy left the store. So Mrs. Tabelli says to him, do you think you're a salesman? He says, yeah. Came in to buy a towel. I sold the towel. He paid for it and left. She said, that's not what a salesman is. If they came in to buy a towel and you didn't sell them a couple of t-shirts and a beach ball and a bag to put it all in, you accomplished nothing. All you are is a clerk. You want to be a salesman? It has to be more than they came in for. Sounds like a good business lesson, right? But imagine a person comes to you and asks for tzedakah. You give him $20 and he walks away. What'd you do? You gave him the towel and he left the store with the towel. What do you have to give him? Words of encouragement. A smile. You have to give more than they came in asking for. This is our job in everything that we do. You have to give more than anything they came in for. Someone comes with a question. You could answer their question, but you could do so much more and you could get them to think about other things, learn about other things, change their life. Every time you meet someone, every time someone comes to you, you have an opportunity to influence that person's life forever. What do? I pray with Eddie Sr. in the city. He tells me he came one night to dinner when he was young to your house in Deal. He said he thought he was coming to eat dinner. He left, not with dinner, but with your mother figuring out who he's going to go out with and who he should marry and who he should do. And we heard it again and again. This was her job, and it wasn't only for her kids and her grandkids. Whoever she saw, she looked. I'm not only going to feed you, I'm going to give you a life. When someone comes to you, what do? Do you just give them the towel, or do you make sure they walk out with much more? It's an incredible lesson that we have to learn. It's an incredible lesson we have to know. You know, as a kid, my dad sometimes woke us up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the 6:30 minyan. And sometimes he said, Dad, it's so early. And you know what my dad would say? Uncle Ikey's been in work already for more than an hour. How could you not get up? So Ikey Shehebar, I don't want to see you at the 8 o'clock minyan anymore. I want to see you at the 6:30 minyan. The Ora Chaim asks, what's in a name? He says, Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur. Betzalel, he's the one who's creating a sail for El. He's creating a mishkan, a shade for God. Ben Uri, what's Uri? The light. He's the one who's bringing light to the world. Ben Hur, Hur from freedom. He's the one who's giving B'nai Yisrael freedom through the Mishkan. Says, we have a name, Bibi. There's a legend of where our name comes from. I don't think it's true. But legends are important to think about. Most likely, our name is a Baghdadian name. It's a first name that we turned into a last name. And we see in the Gemara, just like there's a Rav Yossi, just like there's a Rav Shimon, just like there's a Rav Yochanan, there's a Rav Bibi. So most likely it was a first name in the Gemara. But there's a legend. Ruby sits on the third floor in the showroom in the building where we have. And opposite Ruby's desk to the left, there's a picture on the wall. The picture is of a man. His name is Yosef Ovadia Bibi, Joseph Bibi. Not my father, but your father's grandfather. That picture is opposite Ruby's desk. He was married to a woman, her name was Farha. And she also came from Baghdad. Her family's home was next door to the Bibi house. And Ovadia did his engraving of silver and brass. And they had the building next door. What did they do? They sold dried spices and dried fruits. It was a three-story building. The store was the first floor. The second floor was where they lived. The third floor was the production. And the roof was where they dried everything. Now in those days, when someone came to you to buy spices, you would fill up a cup of spice. You would take the ruler and you would clear the top. They had a full cup. And you would take the cup and pour it into their sack. That's how you sold everything. It was either one cup, two cup, three cup. You filled the cup, wiped the top, poured it in the sack. What did she do? When she filled the cup, whatever was left on the top, she left there. She gave them the extra. She didn't try to give only a cup. And she poured it into their bag. And what did they call her? My love, Habibi. And that's how we have our name. Is it true? I don't know. But it's a beautiful story to think. That's how I have my name. Why? Because my great-great-grandmother did extra. More than they asked for. That's what a lesson we have to do. We have to be able to do more. We have to give more. We have to be willing to give more. We have to go beyond the letter of the law. That's lesson two. Alice, you said your father, your mom treated your dad as royalty. This tells us about Betzalel Lemate Yehuda. And the Orach Chaim asks, why Lemate Yehuda? We know that the Mate of Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, when the sea was there, the sea is going to split. What happens? From the tribe of Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav, he jumps in early. He jumps in until his neck, and suddenly the sea splits. This is one of the reasons that Nachshon's family, the tribe of Yehuda, becomes royalty, the king. That's the reward. Yehuda is given the malchut, he's given the kingship. Do you know that our family descends directly from David HaMelech? The same great-grandmother, her name was Bakal. And the family of Bakal in Baghdad are the descendants of the Exilarch. The Exilarch was the descendant of King David in Baghdad, who was the head of the community. So, you should know, every one of you who's a grandchild, a great-grandchild, a great-great-grandchild, when someone tells you you're a prince or a princess, they're not just saying words. It's true. You're a prince and a princess. You want Yichus? This is Yichus. I come from King David. When you read Tehillim, when you read Hallel, they're not just words from some guy named King David. They're words from your great-great-great-grandfather. You have to realize that's something. That's where you come from. But when you have royal blood, more is expected of you. Lesson three. You have royal blood. Don't disappoint. You have to live up to who you are. Finally, you know, we'd say Betzalel. Marlene Mamie, who comes to my classes, she said to me, you know, if it's Betzalel, I could associate that name with the Bibi family. Why? Because it says about Betzalel, he had the wisdom, la'asot bezahav u'bakesef u'banechoshet, to make in gold and silver and in copper, and to do carving in stone and carving in wood and all. She said, what other family in the community has that kind of background? That's what we do. That's what we do. You know, in my synagogue, I have a Sefer Torah that Jeffrey, wherever you are, Jeffrey donated one. Next to the Torah that Jeffrey donated, there's a Torah that my father created. He did it all full-scale drawing and had it made in Portugal. Next to that is a Sefer Torah that Grandpa, Ruby, made in 1931 in memory of his sister, Nuri Dayan's mother. And that Torah, because it was the Depression, is in silver and copper. And on the front face of that Torah is handwritten by Grandpa the whole Berich Shemeh prayer on the two pieces on the outside of the Torah. Next to that Torah is a Torah from 1895 that probably is the work of Yosef Bibi, Grandpa's father. And next to that, I have a Torah from Baghdad from 1850, which is the work of Ovadia Bibi. We have a history that goes back. You want to know where you're going in life? Know where you came from. Know what you have to do. Know what you have to live up with. I mentioned, why does it say Ruach without the bet? Why Ruach without the bet? Still got 7 minutes. It says, why Ruach without the bet? Is it good? Okay. It says, why Ruach? Who died when he was trying to stop them from doing the Egel? Chur. And how do you spell Chur? Chet, Vav, Resh. Now take Chet, Vav, Resh and reverse it. And what do you get? Ruach. What was inside Betzalel that gave him the strength? The Ibur of Chur, his grandfather. His grandfather lives inside of him. What does that mean, that a grandfather lives inside of you? The rabbis tell us that Adam HaRishon, in his soul, was every single soul ever to be born. Could you imagine? There's a lot of people talking inside one guy, right? But in our terms, we could think DNA. Every person who was born, the DNA for them was inside Adam HaRishon. Everyone who would ever be born, his potential was already there within Adam HaRishon. And every descendant has the DNA of everyone who came before them. Think of this. There's a string which connects us. They have the DNA, which is us. We have the DNA, which was them. The spirit that comes before us. I just want to close with a story. Last Friday, my granddaughter got her Sidur. Sidur! My wife and I couldn't go. It's very sad, we couldn't go. But we had a good excuse. She lives in Tel Aviv. But who gave her the Sidur? Who's putting his arm around her, handing her the Sidur? Not her teacher. Not the rabbi from the school. Not the rabbi from the shul. Who was there? Rabbi Yisroel Meir Lau. Who was he? The former chief rabbi of Israel. His son is the chief rabbi now. He comes to a six-year-old to hand them the Sidur so that they should never forget a connection present to past to future. She can tell her grandkids, I got my Sidur from Rabbi Lau. And if you ever have to read a book, after you read the Nuri book, you have to read the book of Rabbi Lau, because that will change your life. Now, I want to tell you one final story. This is the story. Rabbi Lau has a son, not the chief rabbi. One of his sons, his name is Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau. He's the rabbi of Netanya. Rabbi Lau received a call one day, some years back. He was on a radio program, I heard. And they asked him in the radio program, why did you want to be a rabbi? And I listened and say, what's this guy asking? What do you mean, why does he want to be a rabbi? His father's a rabbi, his grandfather was a rabbi, his brother's a rabbi, his brother's the chief rabbi. Of course he's going to be a rabbi. That's a family business. He says, why did you want to be a rabbi? He says, I'm going to tell you. Some years back, I was in Netanya. I'm the rabbi of Netanya. And I get a call from a girl in Tel Aviv. And she says, Rabbi, I want you to come, please be Mesader Kedushin. I want you to come do my wedding. And he says, okay, let me look at the calendar. And she gives him the date. And he says, sweetheart, this is Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is probably one of the two busiest days in a rabbi's life. Aside from the fact that I'm going to do Bedikat Chametz in my own house, I have people coming to sell their chametz all night, and I have people calling me to ask me if I could kasher this pot or that pot or this thing or the other thing. That night's not a convenient night. I'm so sorry. You have to get someone else. Okay. 2 days later, she calls back. She says, Rabbi, please, I need you to do my wedding. He says, darling, I can't do it. It's just too busy for me. There's so many rabbis in Tel Aviv. I can't drive down from there on this day. It's too hard. 2 days later, she calls again. He says, why me? And she says, Rabbi, you were Mesader Kiddushin at one of my friend's weddings. It was the most spiritual thing you made her whole life. I want you to make my life like that. He says, okay, I'll make you a deal. The wedding takes place exactly 5 p.m. We sign the ketubah at 4. 5 is the ceremony. At 6 o'clock, I'm in the car driving back to Tel Aviv. She says, done. So he comes that day to Tel Aviv. He walks into the wedding hall and they introduce him to an old man. The old man is from Argentina. She's the girl's grandfather. He comes over to the rabbi and he says to the rabbi in Yiddish, Shalom Aleichem. And the rabbi says, Aleichem Shalom. And the old man says to the rabbi, Rabbi, where are you from? And the rabbi says, I'm the rabbi of Netanya. I come from Netanya. And then he asks the old man, where are you from? And the old man says, Rabbi, did you ever hear of a town in Poland called Pietrzykow? And the rabbi shakes. Because Pietrzykow was where his father, who survived as a little boy, and the pictures of the Holocaust you see of this little boy is Rabbi Lau, with his older brother Naftali, and no one else from their family. They all died in Pietrzykow. And he says to him, Rabbi Lau, you know who was the last couple married in Pietrzykow before the Nazis came the next day and chased us out and killed us? He says, no, I don't know who was the last couple. And the man says to him, my wife and I were the last couple married in 1942 in Pietrzykow. And Rabbi, do you know who married us? We were married by the Halakha, the Holy Tzaddik, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau, the chief rabbi of Pietrzykow. And the next day, the Nazis took him first. And we ran and we survived in the forest, and that's where we're alive today. And he says, did you ever hear of the Holy Tzaddik, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau? And Rabbi Lau, with tears in his eyes, says, that was my Zeta. That was my grandfather. And my name is Moshe Chaim Lau, after him. And he says, I didn't know why your granddaughter needed me to marry her. I didn't know why she kept calling. But Hashem showed me something. Hashem showed me something. He says to the radio, on the radio, he says, you want to know why I'm a rabbi? Because our job in this world is to continue the work of our parents and grandparents. That's what keeps them alive. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau of Pietrzykow may have perished in the Holocaust, but he's still alive in Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lau of Netanya. What do we have to remember when we walk out of here tonight? What do we have to remember? There's a message of immortality. There's a message of immortality. The DNA of our parents is in us. In us is them, in them is us. They did things in this world, but there's a great deal of work to do. We can never finish what we want to do. But they did work. What do we have to do? Continue the work that they did. We have to pick up the midot that they did. We have to realize that each of us has a superpower, a gift that Hashem gave us. And we have to ask, how am I going to use that superpower? How would my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother want me to use it? We have to realize that we always have to go beyond the letter of the law. They come in for a towel. Don't let them walk out just with a towel. Make sure you give them the towel and the t-shirts and the bag and the suntan lotion and whatever else you have to give them, because you have to do more. You have to go beyond the letter of the law. And finally, you have to realize you have a responsibility, because you are not regular people. You're royalty. And royalty has a responsibility. We have an incredible gift. That gift is who we came from. But we have an obligation to allow them to continue to live through us, through our children, through our grandchildren. You have to tell this to your children and grandchildren. They have to know where they come from, and they have to know that they have this obligation to do it. Tehi nafshas Rabbi Sora Chaim. Thank you, everybody, for listening.